Now he brings Flowers in motion to the left. He gives it to Flowers in the jet sweep. He cuts inside the numbers. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ravens! The Zay is in the barn, and the Ravens knock out the Chargers in L.A.
It's time for our weekly visit with the Hall of Famer, John McClain. From Sports Radio 610, right now on Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q.
As we kick off hour number two of the show, you hear Zay Flowers of the Ravens with that touchdown catch going up against the Chargers. Baltimore, one of the hottest teams in football. The Philadelphia Eagles, one of the hottest teams in football. And we'll ask John McClain, the general, the Hall of Famer, as he joins us now on the phone lines, kicking off hour number two of the show. And John, we'll start with Baltimore and Philadelphia. Are those the two best teams in football, in your opinion, right now?
Philadelphia is, Q, because the Eagles have the best record, 10-1. It's the first time a team that lost the Super Bowl was 10-1 the next season since the Bills in 1991. Now, they've got a preview of what could be the NFC Championship game against the 49ers. I can't wait for that game. And I would say those are the two best teams in the NFC. Before we can take the Cowboys seriously, they're going to have to beat somebody. And that somebody's not the Seahawks, who've lost three in a row. And somebody tweeted Thursday or Friday after the Cowboys walloped the Commanders, that if the Cowboys could just play bad teams in the playoffs, they could get to another Super Bowl. And I wish I'd have thought of that. And I think in AFC Baltimore, how can we ever go away from the Chiefs as long as Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are there? They look really good. You know, there's teams playing great defense that are capable of pulling upsets if they can run the ball in the playoffs. But I think right now my big four would be Baltimore, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and San Francisco.
I think that's fair. I really do. And, you know, when you look at the teams that play in the Super Bowl season ago, obviously the Chiefs won in, the Eagles, they came up a little short. They're playing at a very high level, but, John, they're doing it differently as opposed to what we're used to. How have they kind of been able to reinvent themselves and still be at the top of the food chain?
It's so impressive because a Super Bowl loser, other than the Patriots, has not been back to the Super Bowl since the Steelers in the 90s. And so what they're doing, and Jalen Hurts is going to be named MVP if he can keep it up, making big plays with his arm and his legs. And it would be very deserving. They're winning close games. They're coming from behind. They're kicking 58-yard field goals to force overtime. That is a winning team playing with a lot of confidence. Now, if you ask Eagles fans, they'll go, well, why are they falling behind if they're so good? Well, they're playing the toughest schedule. You know, they're playing a first-place schedule. They play in a division that's got another tough team in the Cowboys. And so I think winning these close games is going to help them down the stretch and in the playoffs more so than if they're like the Cowboys and they're blowing out all these bad teams. And then all of a sudden they play a good team like Philadelphia and they get within breathing distance. And then they have clock issues. They have game management issues, which is something Cowboy fans have to worry about. But the Eagles right now, they've got the MVP and Jalen Hurts. And I don't see – now, as soon as we say this, the 49ers will beat them.
Right.
But I don't think so. I think this is such a big test. But if they play a second game to go to the Super Bowl, it's hard to beat a good team two times. And I'm not saying the Eagles need to lose this game, but if they do, there's a silver lining.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. John McClain, the general from Sports Radio 610 in Houston, is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. What did you think about Frank Reich being fired in Carolina after only 11 games?
That's such a spit show over there with David Tepper. When I heard him on his news conference excerpts today from on NFL Radio, first time he referred to Reich, he called him Reich. Now, you got it right the second time. And that was supposed to be their super staff of veteran coaches, proven veteran coaches, and he's pulled a quick trigger. You know, what are they going to do? It doesn't matter to them if they fool around and win a couple of games, because that hurts the Bears, not them. It's not a good job. They're hoping that Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Lions, who's the hottest coordinator in the NFL, will want to come home to North Carolina. And if I'm Ben Johnson and I have a chance to go to the Chargers, who are expected to fire Brandon Staley and work with Justin Herbert and a lot more talent than the Panthers have, I'm headed to L.A. And there, you know, people say, well, you're going to have a hard time getting a good coach. That's what they said about the Texans. Texans fired two coaches, one and done. And if anybody watched them, you'd known why they got fired, because they did bad jobs. And so then people say, oh, they're not going to get a good coach. Sean Payton interviewed here. D'Amico Ryan's interviewed. They hired D'Amico. He's a leading candidate to be voted coach of the year. And the Texans are 6-5 and capable of beating anybody. So, you know, but there's 32 jobs.
Yeah.
They pay a whole lot of money. And you know David Tepper's not going to be outspent. So I think he'll be able to get a good coach. But with that lack of talent and not having your top pick, he better show some patience for his first time since he's been in the NFL.
How many coaching vacancies do you anticipate this offseason?
Well, we know Washington's gone. We figure Brandon Staley's gone. Matt Eberflus has fooled around and won four games, but I can't imagine they want to go into next season with him. I could see Todd Bowles being gone at Tampa. I could see Dennis Allen being gone in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be a surprise. There's
yep.
always a surprise. And then I think, you know, Antonio Pierce, they're going to hire a new coach. People think could be Jim Harbaugh, could be Bill Belichick, you know, that Mark Davis wants to hit a grand slam. And I think if it's ever approved that Tom Brady can be a minor partner, I think it'd be a hoot that if they hired Belichick and he'd have to have total control. And then Brady, as an owner, could go down there and tell him what to do.
That would be funny. I'll tell you what, Raider Nation would hate to see that and hear about Bill Belichick anywhere near the facility as long as he wasn't an opponent.
And I got you, because no more of the Patriot way.
Yep.
But I think we've come to learn, Q, it wasn't the Patriot way. It was the Brady way.
Right.
And I don't see them doing that. I could see Mark Davis going after Harbaugh. And a lot of people think that the NCAA could suspend Harbaugh for a big portion next year. Now, he's interviewed for NFL teams, mm-hmm. and whether he's turned them down or they've turned him down, nobody knows, but he would certainly be a splash. He would be the biggest splash. And the problem with Belichick will be, I think, 73 next year, and he has to have total control. And he can't just get his kind of players and staffers in there overnight. That's going to take a while. By then, maybe 75 years old. Is that the way you want to go?
No, not at all. And, you know, you mentioned Antonio Pierce. I wanted to ask you, you've been around the game for a long time. Why is it so difficult for interim head coaches to get that full-time promotion?
Because they take over bad situations, and they don't go to the playoffs generally, although you guys had Rizvi Sacha, who went to the playoffs.
Yep.
And I think I saw what Mark Davis said. He wished he had kept him. Is that the case?
I saw that he was thinking about it, like it affected him. I don't know if he really, you know, wanted to keep him.
Well, he went for the big splash.
Yep.
And sometimes you just got to go for the best guy. Now, if you look at David Tepper and Mark Davis, if you need in Davis's situation a general manager, and you don't have a general manager to oversee the search for a head coach, how does number one Mark Davis get a good general manager? He thought he had one in Ziegler,
yeah.
And he didn't. Fired him too. So how's he going to be guided? He can't do it by himself. If I were an owner, I would put together a group of prospective football people, and if I had to pay them, I'd pay them. It's a panel. And I'd want to know, not them together, don't want to know what I wouldn't want them to know what they're saying, but I'd want to talk to each, say, Bill Polian, Bill Parcells, people that have been successful head coaches, maybe John Gruden. I'd want to know what they think about the people today. I especially want to know former coaches, GMs, and players who are in the media who spend a lot of time watching tape. I would want to know what they thought. So if I had a group of 5 to 10 and certain names kept showing up on all of them, I would want to interview them. I also would have a search firm. I'd be careful about which search firm, not to hire who they recommended, but just to see whom they recommend. Because
right.
He's got to get a GM. You can't have a coach determining the GM, which has happened the last two times he's hired. You have to start with a general manager.
I agree with that 100%, and they have Champ Kelly in place right now as the interim. He's well-respected around the NFL. What do you think he has to prove to be able to get that job full-time as well?
I don't think record has anything to do with it. I think organization, I think the way he's been there. I don't know how much Mark Davis keeps what kind of close tabs on what's going on. But, it's one of those deals where it's what he says about what he wants to accomplish. And I don't know how owners can differentiate because they're all going to be told what they want to hear.
Right.
And some of them, you want people to tell you the truth about the organization. You want them to tell you the truth about the staff, the way things are done, training camp, medical, training, strength and rehab. You got to just be honest when you're talking to the owner. I knew a head coach that interviewed a former head coach was an assistant interview with Arizona. And he told them, first thing you need a better practice facility. And they're like, what? What? We love our practice facility. So he didn't get the job because he was honest. So it's hard to get people to be honest about what you need. But the Raiders are an attractive job because of the fan base, where they play, the stadium, the facility, everything. But Mark Davis can't keep getting it wrong. And it's got to start with the general manager. And there are a lot of talented personnel people out there, whether they stay in-house or not. As much as I like Mike Mayock on TV, he was my all-time favorite. Just talking about people on TV doesn't mean when you're actually doing the job, you can do it. Now, of course, he did what Gruden wanted. Gruden had all the power. But you can't give a coach all the power, I don't believe.
John McClain, Sports Radio 610, is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. Just had a couple more quick questions for you. We saw Justin Fields in action on Monday Night Football. The Bears found a way to win that game over the Vikings. Can you see Justin Fields, whether with the Bears or any other team, as a franchise quarterback in the league?
It's hard to judge him, Q, because of the talent around him. He's got a receiver in DJ Moore. He's been hurt a lot. If he keeps running all the time, he's bound to get hurt. You've got to make your living as a pocket passer, but then throw on the run as it's secondary, like they've done with C.J. Stroud here.
Yeah.
He likes to throw from the pocket. Sunday against Jacksonville, pressure was intense. He had a great game, threw for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, ran for 1, spent most of the game having to run to get away from the pass rushers, but he was very accurate. So you need that, and they got to start with Fields, putting the talent around him, and that's a tough one. Fans are not going to be fired up if they keep him. If they get a chance to take, Caleb Williams or Drake May, and they don't do it, and they keep Fields, and he doesn't take the next few steps, it's going to set that organization back 10 years.
No doubt about it. And I wanted to finish out with Houston, and I know they fell short to Jacksonville, but it was a pretty competitive game, really competitive game. 58-yard field goal, hit the bar, but didn't go on the right side of things for H-Town. What did you see in that game, and how are you feeling about the Texans, even though they came up a little bit short?
They've had 7 consecutive games decided in the last 30 seconds, 3 with no time left, 1 with 6 seconds left. It's amazing. And the fact that a rookie quarterback with a rookie play caller and a rookie head coach have them in position, they blew the division because Jacksonville now has a 2-game lead. But they're on the outside looking in, but they're the second team. They're tied with Denver just outside the wild card teams. They play Denver. They still play Indy. Indy's ahead of them because they beat them. They still play Cleveland. So if people here are really fired up about C.J. Stroud, and that shows you can get a franchise quarterback, and they didn't put a lot of talent around him. It's developed around him, especially the receivers. He has made those receivers into big-time players.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. It really has. I'm really happy for CJ. I'm happy for Houston and DeMeco Ryans as well. Just glad to see that organization doing what they're doing after a couple of years of wondering exactly what direction they were going in. John, great stuff as always. What are you working in or working on that we should be on the lookout for?
My columns are on sportsradio610.com plus all my podcasts. But I wrote a column today about the Broncos interviewed DeMeco Ryans and Sean Payton. The Texans interviewed DeMeco Ryans and Sean Payton. What would have happened if the McNair family had hired Payton and the Walmart heirs had hired DeMeco Ryans? Would they be where they are now? Q, thank you very much as always. Merry Christmas to all your listeners.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, John. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you next week. I appreciate you. There he goes, John McClain, the general right there, Sports Radio 610 with us each and every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Good stuff, and that is an interesting question. What if Sean Payton had gone to Houston, and what if DeMeco Ryans had ended up in Denver? Would C.J. Stroud have been a guy that Sean Payton wanted? Like, that's really interesting. They probably wouldn't have traded up for Will Anderson at number 3 because Sean Payton's probably not thinking about a defensive guy like that. That's an interesting little column. Great thought there from John McClain. It's always great when we catch up with him each and every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. We definitely appreciate his time. We want to hear from you as well at 702-365-9200. We've got plenty coming up on the show, including Lincoln Kennedy. He'll join us at 3:30. We've got sounds from the Raiders locker room. But we'll go out to the phone lines real quick. Again, 702-365-9200. In your opinion, what do the Raiders as a team, staff, players, or as a unit need to accomplish during the bye week? Let's go out to New Jersey. Let's talk to our guy, Mitch. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, brother?
How's it going, Q? Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
You too, brother. Appreciate you. Yep.
You know me. I'm going to talk draft. I think the Raiders out of the Drake Caleb sweepstakes. I'm liking DJ. This guy, Jaden Daniels, has come on strong. And I'm sure there's a few other quarterbacks, but I like somebody had panics. The Raiders taking panics from Washington Huskies.
Yep.
What do you think about that guy, Latu, from UCLA? Can you imagine him in a defensive line? I know Wilson is still a lot to be desired. But Crosby and Latu, I mean, Latu was awesome against USC. Practically won the game that game was in hand by third quarter. But just what are you thinking? Get well rested. I say figure out about the playoffs. The next two games, Minnesota and Chargers, they're all like a box of chalk. You never know what you're getting. Anyway, thanks for letting me rant. Thanks, Q.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mitch. I appreciate you, brother. And I'll say this, man. I'm a big fan of Michael Penix. I like him a lot. I think he does some really good things. I know last game against Washington State, it wasn't his best game. And this game coming up on Friday here in Vegas against Oregon is going to be a dog. It's going to be so tough, but I like Michael Penix a lot. I love what he brings to the table. I love his arm strength. I like the lefty in him, just a little something about him. But he's a hell of a player, and he can get that ball out quick if he needs to. I know, again, like I said, the last game wasn't his best game, but, man, he's a good little player. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the draft, and if the Raiders decide that, you know, the guy that they have in-house and Aiden O'Connell is not their guy, then I think that they need to do everything they can to decide and go get their guy. They've got to be able to identify their guy. They've got to order operations. And this is why I think with the Raiders having this early start and firing Josh McDaniels on Halloween made sense. That was November 1st, basically, when Antonio Pierce took over. So what the Raiders need to do between now and the end of the season, we're talking about the bye week right now, but think about this, between now and the end of the season, or really November 1st and the end of the season, identify their GM, like you just heard from John McClain, identify their head coach in that order, not backwards, right? It's like you don't hire the employees to go hire the boss. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Hire the GM, hire the head coach. They might already be in place. Champ Kelly could easily be the guy. AP could easily be the guy. But identify who they're going to be. Do that quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because right now, Champ Kelly has all the guys out there grinding, trying to put together a team. So if he's going to be the guy, good. Fine. Move forward. That's all good. I have no problem with that. That's great. And then, at the same time, you have to identify what's going on with your roster right now. Is Aiden O'Connell the guy? And you can't get blinded. You can't just fall for the banana tailpipe and be like, oh, man, it looks good. You know, hey, cool, he'll be fine, this, that, and the other. No, be honest with yourself. if that is that the guy you see leading your team to the playoffs? Not getting to the playoffs with your team, but leading your team to the playoffs. Is that your guy? If it is, great. Move forward with him. If not, you have to go get your guy. But you have to do it in that order. It can't be ass backwards, right? You can't all of a sudden go into the offseason and mess around and take your time and twiddle your thumbs and decide what you're going to do, then find out, okay, you know what? This isn't the coach that we want. We're going to go some other direction. And all the good coaches are gone. And then all of a sudden you got to settle, right? Instead of Steve Sarkisian, you get Lane Kiffin. That happened. That's a real thing, right? I didn't just pull that out of my backside. That's a real thing. That happened. Al Davis wanted to hire Steve Sark, and they ended up with Lane Kiffin. We all know how that worked out, right? Wanted to hire Sean Payton at one time, settled for other, right? I mean, that's just the reality of it. So you've got to do it in that order. Identify your GM. Champ Kelly, so be it. Cool, perfect. Love Champ Kelly. I think he's going to do some great things if it's either with the Raiders or some other team. I stand on that. I believe he's going to be that guy. Antonio Pierce, I believe he can be that guy. I really do. I don't know if he's going to be that guy. I already, you know, rolled it out there on how difficult it is for the interim coach to actually get that full-time job, but I do feel like this circumstance may be a little different. If he's your guy, cool. Let it be known. And then, hey, how do these two guys collaborate, have their staff in place, whoever their staff is going to be, whoever they're going to move forward with. It's not going to be everyone, I'm sure. There'll be other people brought into the mix, and then you do that. You go from there. So then you got to get your quarterback. This team far too long has gone and kind of been that, the computer, Netflix, when it's buffering, hoping that the quarterback all of a sudden is going to take that next step. And I've said it for years when it came to Derek Carr. He stabilized that quarterback position. I think he should eat for free in Vegas all the time. I really do. Anytime there's any kind of Raider function, he should eat for free because he stabilized that position from that terrible carousel that they had for many, 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 many years. But it's okay to want more, right? Like I got a 2018 Escalade at one point. I was like, man, I sure would like another one. Now that's not me being greedy. It's just me having ambition, right? And saying at some point that wears out and you want to get something better. So you do eventually if you can. And that's okay. That's, again, that's not being greedy. That's just you understanding that things evolve, things change, things grow. Like my job on the radio, like I had aspirations to have a show. Then I had aspirations to have multiple shows. Then I wanted to be the boss. Then I wanted to do this, that, and the other. I mean, you grow. That's natural. So he stabilized the position. Who could take that position from good to great? Similar to what Pat Mahomes did for Kansas City when they took it from Alex Smith, which was good, and made it great. Dino from Toronto, you're up next. What's on your mind? Welcome to the show.
Q, great show, brother. Happy Thanksgiving. Quickly on this topic, I think we got our GM, and I believe we have our head coach. And I actually believe that we have our quarterback. And I've heard a number of times on your show, the NFL sports journalists that you interview, and on other shows as well, they flat out and said, give AP the job right now. Take the intern tag off of him. So the people that know this business a lot better than me and who are you know, eat, sleep, and drink NFL all day, you know what I mean? They're saying that. So that's what I go by. So I also want to say that Aidan O'Connell is getting a lot of praise from a lot of sports journalists that I listen to. And I listen to your show a lot. Obviously, it's all Raider Nation Raider every day. But I listen to a lot of ESPN. A lot of people are not, you know, they're not down on this rookie, man. I mean, he's mm-hmm. he's producing right now, and I believe he may be the kid. But I think it all starts with stability. And the last thing I want to say, Q, is that I don't know if everyone's paying attention, but Sean Payton, man, he's got these guys playing in Denver with ill intent, as AP says, man. Yep. There's a lot of tough, tough black and blue football going on right now. I see the same thing with Kansas City. They bolstered that defense. It's going to be black and blue. I mean, they got Mack and they got Bosa and they got a whole other team in LA with the Chargers. I mean, we're going to have to play tough football, man. This is going to be, in my opinion, I believe this is going to be one of the toughest divisions, and you need a tough guy to lead these men. And I believe AP is the guy. I would love for them to take off the intern tag off him, man. I think that would be huge. And I think the players support him. From what I hear from everyone, I mean, Hunter Redford said, We can win five in a row. Hunter Renfrow is the most unassuming guy on this team. And for him to say we can win five in a row and make the playoffs, what does that say, man? Like, you know what I mean? So the players believe in this guy, man. I would love for them to just, you know, stabilize what they got and take the intern tag off this guy and let him run with it for the next 2 years.
All right, Dino from Toronto, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate you. And I will say this before we get to Lincoln Kennedy. They could take the interim tag off of him, but they can't do it right now. I just want to make that 100% clear. There's a lot of reports out there. There's a lot of false information out there. There's people that I know that are spreading false information. You cannot take the interim tag off right now. They have to go through the proper hiring process. Now, in your mind, you could already have yourself made up on who you're going to hire. That's fair, and that's natural. That happens every single day in our walk of life. They have to go through the hiring process. We've had many people on the show, including Ian Rappaport, who said, yes, confirm that. Again, there's people that work near and dear me, not in my building, but near and dear me, that have said otherwise. That is false. That is false. That is false. That is false. I cannot reiterate it and say it slow enough so people understand. You have to go through the hiring process at the end of the year, and then you can decide, yeah, okay, AP is going to be our guy. Champ Kelly is going to be our guy. But the process has to process, if you know what I mean. 3:26 is the time. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you. Lincoln Kennedy, he'll join the show next. Talk all things Silver and Black. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Mahomes, the snap, the handoff up the middle. Edwards Alaire, the initial push wasn't there, and then he's drilled by Spillane. A phenomenal job by the middle of that Raiders defense, led by Malik Reed, who went low, and then Spillane crushed him up top. Third and goal.
Raiders color analyst Lincoln Kennedy is live on Unnecessary Roughness right now on Raider Nation Radio.
And here we go. Lincoln Kennedy joins us now on the phone lines. We appreciate him each and every Tuesday and Thursday as he joins us at this time. And Lincoln, thanks so much for your time. As always, my man, before we get into the Raiders and what we saw on Sunday and their loss to the Chiefs, I wanted to talk to you about what I talked to you about at the press box on Sunday, and that's Washington State wide receiver Lincoln Victor. I learned on the broadcast between Washington and Washington State during the Apple Cup that Lincoln Victor, the wide receiver, was actually named after you because your name, Lincoln, is such a strong name.
Well, it's strong like bull. That's all we can take in the South of that. It's good to be mentioned. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you doing this afternoon, my man? And what was your biggest takeaway, I guess, from that loss to Kansas City on Sunday?
You know what? It's more in the line that the Raiders need to follow. The thing is, when you think about the Raiders' growth and where they are, this is a statute that you have to put yourself against. It's, you know, when you think about the Chiefs are the statue that you put yourself against.
Right.
If you want to be a champion, you have to be where they are. And the Raiders can accomplish it this past weekend. They have some work to do, but they're close. We'll see.
Yeah, no, you can see that they're competing, right? They were up 14-0, and then the
Certainly.
Chiefs just kind of,
right.
you know, got their groove back. What do you think was the turning point in that game?
That's a big question. I would say the inept of the offense, inept of the team as a general, to just keep pace with what Chiefs do. That's the best way I can put it.
What did you think about that kind of that fourth down decision to kick the field goal as opposed to try to go for it on fourth and one?
Smart decision. It's what you're supposed to do. It's football right.
Right.
You know, one of those type of things. It's football right. You can sit there and say you want to take a chance, you want to do this, you want to do that, but the fact is that you're not there yet, and that's what the Raiders are right now.
Right. Yeah, no, they're not there yet. They're trying to put as many points on the board. That does make sense. Again, Lincoln Kennedy is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. And I know you talk to these coaches, you and Jason, prepare for these broadcasts, college and NFL. How difficult is it to be in that seat when you got to make the challenges, you got to make the in-game decisions, you've got to, on the fly, when the bullets are live, how difficult is that for these coaches?
You know what it comes down to is the fact that every fan wants you to be right.
Right.
Every fan wants you to be there. Every fan wants to be in mix. The Raiders aren't there yet.
Right.
It's just that simple. They're not there yet. And it might come down to a point where they are there, but for right now, they're not there.
No, they're not. And earlier this week, matter of fact, on Monday, we saw Marcus Peters and Roderick Teamer, for different reasons, be waived from the team. How much of that was a statement as well from Champ Kelly and Antonio Pierce that we've got to do things the right way, the Raider way?
I appreciate AP for what he's on say and Tony Chris. AP, look, I appreciate Coach for wanting to do things right. It's a process. It's a work in process. And the thing is, when you make coaching changes, when you make all these changes, it's going to happen. So Raiders got to find a way to do things right for them, but it's going to be a while and before they get there.
One thing that stood out to me from the game on Sunday was the Raiders had zero penalties and zero turnovers. That doesn't happen to any team, let alone the Raiders. It didn't result in a win, but how impressive was that?
Well, it's a work in progress. I mean, the thing is with the Raiders, when you look at what they're doing and where they're going, you hope that it goes to the right process. But the thing is, it's a long process to get there.
Yeah, and it just doesn't happen overnight, as much as we all would like to see it happen overnight. I know Aiden O'Connell's the guy that we continue to see develop.
Yeah.
He had a really good game. Again, process, and doesn't really result in a victory, but are you seeing the steps that you need to see from Aiden O'Connell getting better?
I'm positive with ALC. True story. I'm positive for where we go forward, but they need a lot more in the process to get there.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, final question for you, Lincoln. How about Josh Jacobs in the big game that he had with that 63-yard run and that nice stiff arm?
Well, I'm hoping. I love the way Josh Jacobs plays. I love the way they run the football. We just need more of it in order to translate to wins. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. Well, what's the most important thing for the bye week for this team moving forward?
Progress. And try to figure out how to make this offense go forward from this point on.
Yeah, they got to get in the lab and figure that out for sure. Well, Lincoln, thanks so much, man. It's always great catching up with you. I definitely appreciate you, my man.
Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, there he goes, the great Lincoln Kennedy with us each and every Tuesday and Thursday, kind of recapping what he saw from the game before on Tuesday, and then on Thursday we catch up and preview the game. But there is no game this upcoming Thursday, but we'll catch up with Lincoln Kennedy on Thursday or maybe a little bit after that as well, as everyone's getting a little bit of rest and relaxation in the bye week as well. Everyone needs to recharge their batteries a little bit, so we definitely appreciate Lincoln and his time this afternoon. Again, the question that we threw out there to you on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 6918. 7 keyword R&R, and of course the Raider Nation listener line at 702-365-9200. In your opinion, what do the Raiders as a team, staff, players, or as a unit, whatever you want to call it, need to accomplish during the bye week? We definitely want to hear from you. Got a bunch of text messages. This one's from East Bay Raider Gray. With respect to Aiden O'Connell, he could be good, but the Raiders need great. With Mahomes, Herbert, Wilson, Allen, Tua, CJ, Trevor, and so on, the Raiders need greatness at the most important position in sports. Go get Caleb or Drake at whatever cost. That's eBay Raider Gray. Got this text from Barry. Preach, Q. The Raiders need to draft a quarterback and get their franchise quarterback. I would draft two quarterbacks this year, just to be honest. Also, Miller Raider said, hey, Q, Miller Raider here. I think they do a lot of self-evaluating on offensive play calling and game management, figure out what plays work on offense and how to manage end-of-the-half situations. Defense, just keep balling, so keep rolling. Love the show. Keep balling on the Papa Shot, LOL. I will. I might have gone and got a couple shots up in the commercial break. I'm just saying. That's going to become addictive. That's going to be one of those things that I do all the time. Like, before I leave the house, yeah, I get a few shots up. Get a quick game in real quick. See what kind of points I can put up. And at this point, you know, it's going to be the home court advantage, right? I'm going to be like the Harlem Globetrotters, and whoever comes to the house to try to play me is going to be the Washington Generals. Like, you ain't going to win. If you do, you might get one out of, I don't know, a million. But you ain't going to get too many, because I'm going to be so good at it. I'm going to be taking all kind of trick shots. Now, the problem I have with this and myself and the wife have already identified this, is you know how we do, right? We start messing around. We start talking. We start telling each other how better the other one is than the other. We start telling some lies. And then somebody's going to say, well, I bet you I can make it from this step. Well, I bet you I can make it from this step. Well, I bet you I can make it from the front door. Well, I bet you I can make it from the couch. Well, I can do this, that, and the other. And that's when trouble's going to happen. I already walked outside of the bedroom, and I looked over, and I said, oh, this could be a trick shot right here. Like, I'm going to be like dude perfect. Isn't that those trick shot guys where they're taking all these trick shots? I'm going to do that, and I'm going to end up messing things up. I already guarantee it. There's already going to be something bad that's going to happen. Someone's going to come over and say, hey, what happened to that, Q? Yeah, it's that time of Papa Shot.
Or during the show, you might hear Ari in the background screaming, we're back in 10 seconds!
No, I'm going to try to focus in on the show, man. I'm not going to do that, but I may say, hey, man, how much time we got? 5 minutes? Okay, let me go on and run this 30-second game real quick.
Do that but, Larry Bird off the, what is it, off the scoreboard?
Yeah,
off
exactly. I'm already looking at different locations in the house. I was like, well, I could probably take a shot from here. I could probably take a shot from there, this and that. And it's not just me. Let's not get it twisted. It's not just me. The wife and little Sarah earlier today were like, yeah, they played a game before Sarah went to work. They squared up against each other as well. So I'm not the only one that's got a little action going on the Papa Shot. And, you know, I can only imagine a Friday night, Saturday night, we may have a cold beverage or two in our system. Mama Q might be at the house talking trash, thinking she's got skills too, and we might just have to go at it, right? It might turn into a full 5-on-5 game for all I know, right? The one thing I do know is that Jason ain't going to be worth a damn because he ain't worth a damn. That dude, him and you guys could be on opposite teams, Ari.
You don't know my
I do know your athletic skills. You have none.
No.
You have
this
zero.
This is different, though.
No, it's not different.
Okay.
Ari, your athletic skills are none.
Fair. However, this particular activity, like we're not balling going 1-on-1 or 3-on-3 with
Ari, you can't throw a ball. You threw a ball to me and it went straight down in the dirt.
Yes. It was really bad.
You were like the kid.
It was my worst ever.
You were like the kid in Little League that's so bad, but you got to be on the team because your parents signed you up.
Coach's son.
So, we put you in right field and pray to God the ball don't go to you. That's you. And then when the ball goes your way, you're like, oh, no.
Jesus. Someone, anyone, come catch me.
Man, I'm telling you, man.
It's accurate.
Look, I got love for this dude, but a guy that I grew up with, man, Enrique Zamora, I always hung out with Dan. Daniel was like my ace boom. That was my guy. And his sister Erica, the whole family we grew up with, but they were more my age group. Enrique was older than us. But he was on my baseball team, which should tell you everything you need to know. He was older than me, and he was on my baseball team. So he wasn't very good. This dude doesn't give a rip about any kind of athletic anything. Like, he does not have an athletic bone in it. Like, you would say, hey, dude, you're not very athletic. Like, you would talk trash to him.
Game up.
This dude was in right field. He was on our team, and he was in right field. And that ball came to him. It was a grounder between first and second base. And, man, we looked and we're like, Enrique! And the ball rolled right between his legs. He had his hat on backwards and had his glove on top of his hat. And that thing went right between his legs. And we're like, get the ball! Like, we're yelling at him. And he let the ball roll all the way to the fence. He had no clue. I was so mad at him. The coach was mad at him. His dad was mad at him. Like, everyone was mad at him. Like, dude, what are you doing? Pay attention. And he's like, what are you guys so upset about? We're like, you stink! So
yeah, I'm much better than him then. I'm calling it right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have a little bit of better chance than he does.
Yes.
Right. Unbelievable.
Good to know there's someone out there in your life that is worse at sports than I am.
Yeah, he didn't give a rip about being out there. He was only out there because his dad signed him up.
That's rough, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you can go play on his team. And I was like, Pops, Daniel could be on my team. That's cool. Erica could be on my team. That's cool. Enrique, nah, not so much.
Take one for the team, literally.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That was a bad, bad decision, so – there's that. 3:43 is the time. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Then we'll take a break. Let's go out to Denver and talk to our guy, Raider Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. You and I both understand and appreciate the Washington Generals for always taking the bucket of confetti. You need to set up a glass in your house that's got the confetti in it.
That's right. I know that's right.
So I think that what the Raiders need to absolutely work on this week, if they work on one thing only with Aiden O'Connell, is the fact that he has got to have rollout plays on third down. I know people don't like cutting the field in half and everything, but if it's third and four, third and five, he's got to be able to find a way where he can approach the line of scrimmage on a rollout, and maybe that defender comes toward him and he can practice on getting it over the top, and getting that short first down, or firing a low one, you know, low one outside to Renfro. Or the fact is that once he gets out there, he gets comfortable to cut back inside and dive forward for a first down. The dude's got to have some practice of moving around. And I'm sure he can do it. He's young and able. He's a tough dude. And I think that's really where it's got to happen in order for the first, second, third down, you know, sequences to get a first down, because that's where we're stopping. We're just not being able to get the third downs.
I like it. I like it. Good stuff, my man. Good stuff. And yeah, that's critical. It really is. And I like a lot of what I've seen from Aiden O'Connell. I just think he needs to add a little bit more. But if he does things that you're just breaking down, and that could work. I'm good with that. That could work. And he's got a strong, accurate arm. I just think that we need to see more to really have a good idea of who he could be. And maybe that's something that Bo Hardigree and company could really work on during the bye week. That's something, answering the question, in your opinion, what do the Raiders as a team, staff, player, as a unit need to accomplish during the bye week? Maybe they need to design the playbook to fit Aiden O'Connell, what he does best, show off what he does best, right? Maybe that's something that Bo Hardigree can custom work on this week now that they're not preparing for an actual team. That could be something there. 3:45 is the time. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Hear from Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams. Plus, we got Hardcore Raider. We'll get all you and then some more coming up next here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Got a lot to get to the rest of the show. We don't have any more live guests, but we have some sounds from the locker room. Devontae Adams. Got plenty of sound from the locker room as well. Jacoby Myers, we have Amir Abdullah. We have plenty of assistant coaches as well, from Chris Ash to Scott Turner, Kennedy Polamalu, Rob Leonard, Max Crosby in the Raiders locker room. We got all that. Plus, we want to hear from you. 702-365-9200 and the don'tbebroke.com text line 69187, keyword RNR. In your opinion, what do the Raiders as a team, staff, players, or as a unit need to accomplish during the bye week? Let's talk to our guy, Hardcore Raider. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, brother?
Thank you. Hope you're doing good, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, so I've been hearing a lot of crazy talk about stuff. You know, I know there's never a dull moment, especially in the Raider Nation. Like, I just asked the question to myself, what does normal mean? Because I feel like every year, as being a Raider fan, like, it's just chaos and a lot of craziness. But, you know, one of the positives, I guess, from the season as we move forward is that we got rid of the cancer, you know, so no matter what, I know it's going to be slim pickings to try to make the playoffs, but it's not out of the realm yet, but that last game was definitely a groin kick. I feel like we're kind of damned if we do, damned if we don't, you know, like there was a time even with Antonio Pierce where we went forward on fourth down and they're like, you should have kicked the field goal. Then it's like, well, you kicked the field goal, you should have went for it. And I know it's all situational circumstances, depending on what's going on in the game. You know, and, you know, had we converted, then it's a completely different story. But the people that are saying get rid of the coach, if we go that route, you know, then we're going to be going through an entire rebuild, which I do not want. I do not, like, I don't feel like this team is missing a ton of pieces. I think we're missing some key pieces, but I don't think it's a ton of pieces that requires, you know, a new coach and a complete rebuild. If we look at the offensive line and then, like, you know, people saying, like, start Jimmy G or get rid of Aiden O'Connell. No quarterback, unless it's Justin Fields or Kyler Murray, is going to do anything under this offensive line. And those quarterbacks are both running quarterbacks. So, you know, this is the first year in a long time where I've been so disappointed in the offensive line. I've seen other offensive line coaches that we've had, like Mike Tice, Tom Cable, get more out of our offensive line. And this year, it's like this offensive line has regressed so much that if anybody were to be like, oh, the weakest point or like the position group that's going to be struggling the most was the offensive line. I don't know that any of us would have guessed that. I'm not saying our offensive line was great or anything, but I definitely didn't see our offensive line regressing this much. When we're on a fourth down and Jacobs can't even get to the line of scrimmage without getting pummeled, this offensive line is pathetic at times. So, you know, if we look at, you know, it's everything, but if we look at the quarterback and the offensive line, I just feel like no matter who's going to be back there, unless they're going to be a Justin Fields run first quarterback, they're going to struggle. And until we figure that out, it's going to be rough going to get this offensive group going.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of concerns when it comes to the offensive line. And that was our concern not going into this year, but going into last year. And they did well. They did well enough to help Josh Jacobs lead the league in rushing. But we all knew that pass protection was still an issue. And I do think that that was a big mistake going into this season, was not addressing the offensive line and continuing to build it. Instead of just trusting, and just instead they just trusted the guys that they had in the building and added Greg Van Roten to the mix and decided, okay, that's going to fix it. And not saying that they haven't done a decent job, because I feel like they've improved. I think Thayer Mumford's improved. I think Jermaine Illuminor did a pretty good job filling in for Colton Miller. Now, when Colton Miller showed up on Sunday, he made a big difference, right? You see the difference between Colton Miller and a Jermaine Illuminor, but that's definitely got to be addressed. That's also got to be another offseason priority, right, for whoever the GM is, whoever the head coach is, and as you mentioned, Hardcore, whoever the quarterback is. They've got to be able to make it work and make it right and make sure that that unit, right, the head coach, the quarterback, and, of course, the offensive line is all, you know, on the same page, and they are all a strength of the team, as opposed to, well, hopefully it works out. You can't have hopefully it works out. You've got to have those guys and those units be strengths of the team. Got a text from the 209. What up, Q? Just finished watching the game again. Underthrown balls, run plays that start deep in the backfield, and the fact that we don't use the tight end position more to attack are items the team needs to work on, not to mention leaving the middle open on defense. Started off strong and ended poorly as a unit. That's from the 209. Short and sweet. Mailman Raider said, Ari may not be the most athletic fella, but I think he got more PT than Damon, laughing my ass off. Ha! That's funny. That is hilarious because, well, Damon talked about all the playing time that he got in high school and how he was a team captain, and there is not one record of Damon ever even being on the court, and his so-called, and I say in air quotes, best friend, Kayla, who was a guest on the show, confirmed that she never saw him on the court, and that was his best friend. So if your best friend ain't seen you on the court, most likely you ain't been on the court. So even an unathletic Ari spent more time on the court or whatever he was doing, whatever activity it was, more than one Damon. So I'll just say that.
Yeah, that's true. I tried out for my freshman high school basketball team. That was pretty much the peak of my and I'll just tell
how
you.
How did that go when you tried out?
I will tell you, with about 10 seconds left, I blocked someone. It was a point guard who ended up going D2 after a while. So that's as good as it gets. I didn't make
that's
the team.
That's your highlight?
You know I didn't make the team. I played some intramural ball on the little, what's called Abington Basketball League. So that's where all us scrubs ended up on. And
I think 3:55 is the time. Coming back with hour number three, it's Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.